Grace, mercy, and peace unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Almighty God, living in a difficult world that grows more intense and complex each and every day, Lord, we seek your guidance. Give us the knowledge that we need. Give us the guidance that we need. And Almighty God, most of all, help us to take your guidance and listen. Amen. In one of the most critically acclaimed movies ever to be overlooked by the Academy Awards, Animal House, they start out by showing a statue with a plaque at the base that says, "Knowledge is good." A very profound statement, to say the least. But I've always felt that that needs to be suffixed by another phrase, when grounded in the truth. Knowledge not grounded in the truth can be a very dangerous thing. It can cause incalculable pain when it leads people astray. We live in a world where the truth is considered to be whatever you want it to be. Well, if you look around, modern society is playing that out. And if you look closer, it's really not going all that well, as we live in a very, very divided and fractious nation. But that is oh so true when it comes to our lives of faith, and living in a knowledge that is not grounded in truth is always bad news. When Paul wrote to Timothy to encourage him in his ministry, he told him, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have come to be convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." When I preach and we have readings, I love it when I can mesh one reading into another reading. And in our first lesson from the book of Acts, we get a very strong lesson in knowledge, truth, and being led away from the salvation that can only be found in the one true God. In our first lesson for today, we read about Paul on one of his journeys in Greece. And as he wandered through Athens, he came across a culture that had a virtual buffet of different gods and different idols for people to worship. If you didn't like one god, you just went on down the line until you found one that met your needs. And as he stood in front of one of the great temples in Athens, Paul proclaimed, "Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. For as I looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription, 'To an unknown God.'" In many ways, we today live in a culture that's really not all that different from the Greek culture Paul wanders through in the book of Acts. Much like people in olden days, people today worship all types of gods and hold tightly to many idols. Money, our possessions, our cars, our homes, various activities that we enjoy doing, ourselves. There's certainly no lack of narcissism or hubris in the world today. And at times, we totally forget that God isn't gold or silver or images created by some guy in a back shop. The true God is the one who overlooks our ignorance, who forgives our sins, and who showers us in God's glorious and loving grace. He even sent his only son to die on the cross for a world that many times ignores his teachings, his works, and the needs of each other, his creation. So you can see in many ways, God still remains an unknown God today, not only to non-believers, but also to those who profess to follow Christ, as we let so many other things jump in front of God in our lives. But God, luckily, knows people vastly better than we know people. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And He knows all too well what an amazing mess that would ensue if He left us to our own devices. He left Adam and Eve alone in the garden with only one simple rule to follow. Don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Well, how did that work out? All of humanity was condemned to sin and to death. And moving on, what did Christ's inner circle, those who were called to leave what they were doing and follow Him in blind faith, what did people who lived with Him for 3 years do after our Lord was crucified? They holed up in a room, afraid to get out there and carry on the work that Jesus Christ gave them to do. And even then, when they left that room, they tried to return to what they were doing before. Try though they may, they hadn't been changed by the love of God at that point in their lives. They needed help to continue to follow Christ and to do His will. They needed a counselor and a comforter to guide and uplift them through a fallen, sinful, and sin-ridden world. Jesus Christ died on that cross to become our advocate on the day of judgment, when I guarantee you we will have a lot to explain that we in our human weakness simply cannot. Why didn't you help people in need? Why didn't you do your part to look over and care for my creation? Why didn't you care about anything but yourself? So Jesus tells us He's going to give us not a hand out, but a hand up in our struggles in life. God would send us an advocate to work in our lives and lead us on our walk of faith. And I will ask the Father, Christ tells us, and He will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, you read. You know Him because He abides with you and He will be in you. Another promise from Jesus that we can count on. The Spirit of truth was alive and well, dwelling in their hearts and working in their lives. They had heard Jesus' promises time and time again, but then they were afraid, although they knew that Christ would always fulfill them. We are not alone in this great battle against temptation and sin. That should bring amazing joy to your world that should bring you amazing joy to a world that can't drive a car, shop for groceries, or walk a dog without having a phone up to your ear. You forget that while you're not talking to anybody you can see, the Holy Spirit is still with you. But that great promise that Christ tells us also tells us something that we often overlook in life. In verse 18, we read, "I will not leave you orphan. I am coming to you." What do you think of when you hear that some kid's an orphan? No parents or family in the picture. No one to love and care for them. They're totally alone to learn right from wrong. Now let me ask you this. What does verse 18 tell you about the way God sees Christ's follower? Personally, it tells me that God sees us as children, people He cares deeply about, members of His glorious holy family. When we're born, we come into a fallen world, and by default nature, whatever you want to call it, we're sinful. But by God's loving grace and the inner workings of the Holy Spirit, we are given faith. And through that faith, we become the children of God. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, we read, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." By grace, We know God's promises of forgiveness and salvation, and for that we love Him. The next step in our journey is being a child of God, like all good children, obeying our Father. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, Jesus tells us. By grace and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we are led to follow God's commandments. In Romans chapter 5, verse 19, Paul reminds us that Adam sinned and passed that sinfulness on to his children this very day. He writes, "For just as through the disobedience of one man, many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of one man, the many will be made righteous." And that's another promise we can count on. In the book of Matthew, we read a parable about two people who built houses, one on sand, the other on a rock. When the storms came, the house built on sand simply fell apart. But the house built on sand, on solid ground, was able to stand firm and weather the storm. When we build our house on solid ground, God promises to be our solid rock during the stormy weather that inevitably comes through our lives. And I don't know about you, but to that, I think we should all say, to God be the glory, our rock and our guide in tough time. Amen.